more to us every year. Your pastor says he appreciates my friendship. I get more from him than he gets from me. I guarantee that. And this is a necessary week for us. Amen. So if you get a blessing out of it, that's goodness of God. But my wife and I really enjoy this, really need this. And praise the Lord. You ready? Probably no telling what I'm done. But the more I learn about him, the more disappointed I am in myself. And like Brother Pat said, the more ready I am to go on and be with him. I'll be glad when the tempter's banished. I'll be glad when the world won't have that allurement that it has. I'll just be glad to get away from Dave Spurgeon. Amen. I don't ever want to get over what he did. Amen? All right. Got another one there, Mrs. Wonderful Person?
You want to try that one?
Let's try it.
Okay.
What are they going to do? They like us. Let's try that again.
Okay, let's try it.
I haven't done this one too many times.
In the land of Judea, across the dark sea, God sent his Son to redeem you and me. As a lamb without spot, he was slain for my sin, and he purchased salvation for all mortal men. by Joseph. His body was laid. They thought it was over, but on that third day, they found his grave clothes and napkin close by, and an angel announcing that he was alive. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because he lives, I can live too. And because he lives, I can live too. There were many who'd seen him, proved him alive. After 40 days, he arose in the sky. To those gathered round, the angels did say, this Jesus who left will return the same way. Many years have gone by since he left us that day. Still we are looking, we watch and we wait for the sound of the trumpet to ring through the skies. Then God's people will leave in the blink of an eye. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because he lives, I can live too. And because he lives, I can live too. Hallelujah, shout the battle cry. The blood of the Savior gives eternal life. Death was defeated by Jesus, it's true. And because he lives, we can live too. And because he lives, we can live too.
Amen. I like that. I like all of that. Amen. All right. Here you go. All right, take your Bible tonight. Open it to, open it anywhere. It's all good. Amen. If you're right with God, it's all good. If you're not, in some parts, you hope I don't turn to. How do you know? Because I'm just like you. Amen. Matthew 22 tonight. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Appreciate your patience last night. I don't know how long it went, but I trust you got something from the Lord. I don't think this one will go that long, but I've been wrong before. Matthew 22 and verse 34, the Bible says this, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't have any problem with questions. He's got the answers. He is the answer. But he also knows the motive when you ask it. And that's revealed to us here in this passage where it says, the lawyer asked him a question, but it wasn't really because he was interested in the truth or searching. Amen. It says the purpose of his question was to tempt Jesus. That's what lawyers do. Boy, they'll set you up, make you be real careful or about what you say. And that's what this fellow was doing. He's outmatched, though. Verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 38, 39 says this, and the second is like unto it. Now the fellow didn't ask for the second one. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go to Jesus, He might give you more than you were than you bargained for. Whatever the motive was that you asked, he might just give you a little more truth than you was ready for. It says this, in verse 39 again, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you know about the Ten Commandments, and truth of the matter is tonight, most of professing Christianity in the day and age in which we live actually think that's all there is. There's quite a few more than that, hundreds in reality. But this fellow asked him, which was the great one? And the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And then he gave him the second one and he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He didn't give them 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. He drew a line right there. And he said, this is the first one, the great commandment, and the second one is like it. What's like it? What's it like? They both had to do with love. See? The second is like unto it. And he said this, on these two commandments hang all the law. In other words, a lot of things that people get carried away with and bogged down with wouldn't even be issued if we get these two things right here straight. In other words, what the Lord says here is that if you can get a hold of these two things, everything else will fall into place. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I want to preach to you tonight. I want to give you a love message. I'm not famous for that. Then again, I'm not famous for anything. But I want to preach to you tonight on love because it's an important subject in your Bible. I'm going to prove it to you. But tonight's title, and forgive me if this conjures up any memories that would have been better left forgotten, but I've named the title of the message this, All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. There's a famous song back in the 60s. Amen. Real simple song understood by people of every nationality, every country. Amen. All you need is love. And he says on this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And again, they both have to do with love. So that's what we're going to preach on tonight. The Bible says a lot about love. Take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 4. And it's very important. It must be very important because 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8 says this. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Well, must be pretty important. Amen? All you need is love tonight. Father, we do come to you in the name that is above every name. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have come out tonight. We pray and ask, Father, that you'd feel comfortable in our midst, Father. And if there's anything we're holding on to in our heart, Father, that might prevent the Spirit of God from being able to do a work in our hearts that'll make us closer to thee at the end of the service than we are right now. Father, we don't have to wait till an invitational hymn to bow our hearts to Thee and get honest with Thee. And Father, if that needs to be done just to open the doors of heaven for a few minutes tonight, I pray that Your people tonight that are here might just address whatever it might be that would hinder them from getting a blessing tonight from You. Dear Lord, I pray and ask that You'd guide my thoughts and enable me to say what You'd have said tonight to accomplish Your purpose. And Lord, if that could happen, we'll give you the thanks and the honor and glory for it as we pray this in the name of all of our majestic Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, there's, again, lots said about love and there's a lot of good things about it. There's right things to love tonight. At 1 John 4 and verse 19, if you went there,
He dropped down to verse 19, and the Bible says this, we love Him because He first loved us. Boy, if there's something to be said about love tonight, it's this right here. Not only is God love, but He loves you tonight. If you love Him, this is why, because He first loved you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Boy, if there's anything that you ought to want to be known for tonight, you might have individual skills and talents and things like that, and that's all well and good, but if you're a child of God tonight, you want to make sure that what you're known for, first and foremost, is that you love God. That's what'll cut through all the confusion. That's what'll cut through the darkness. That's what'll shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on the hearts of a lost and dying world, which includes friends, which includes co-workers, which includes neighbors, that includes family members, and around us, that there are folks that need a witness. If any man love God, the same is known of him. It do you well to learn to love God in here tonight if you don't. And if you do, to love Him more. He's worthy. He's worthy of it. And tell you something else. Right thing to love. And the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, speaking to a church here, speaking to the religious crowd, if God were your Father, ye would love me. Amen. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Boy, if there's anything the Lord Jesus Christ did faithfully in His ministry, was point people to God. He's our example. Amen. He didn't brag on Himself, and we don't need to be bragging on ourselves. Not our church, not our denomination, or lack thereof, whatever. We need to brag on God. That's it. That's our example. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Accursed. Accursed. Listen, if there's something to get a hold of tonight, you need to love God. Amen. It ought to be easy. He loved you first. And you need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God's your Father, that's not a problem. But if you're having a problem with loving Jesus Christ, maybe you got the wrong father. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, of which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That day was the day that Paul would be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and that he's on the brink of that day that might have well been written within hours of his actually meeting the Lord. He said in verse 6 there of 2 Timothy 4, for the time of my departure is at hand. He said, for I am not ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then he says this, and henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And if anybody deserved one, it'd be Paul. Boy, that guy earned it. Amen? I don't have any problem at all with Paul getting a crown of righteousness, but I'm happy to report that the verse doesn't stop there. It says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. There's five crowns that a believer can earn in the Bible. And the crown of righteousness can be earned by longing for and looking for, and beloved, the Bible says, love His appearing. And I'll tell you what, I've been around a little while. You know what, Brother Pat, you've been saved 42 years, and I've been saved 21 years. I've been saved half as long as you. And that struck me last night, because there might be somebody in here tonight that is newly saved. There might be somebody in here that needs to get saved. We invite you to get saved in 21 more years when I'm as old in the Lord as Brother Dean. I didn't say old. I didn't say that. I saw you laughing. When I'm 42 years old in the Lord, you'll be 21. I certainly hope the Lord comes back before we reach that day. But what am I saying? It's never too late to get started. Amen. Better late than never. Best case scenario, get saved young. Sell out. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Amen? But better late than never. Amen? Some of us waited a while. But we all ought to be looking for His appearing. I got a plaque in my office, in the motorhome. It says, perhaps today. And why? Well, I need to be provoked to remember as we get up and get about our business. And this, you know, this he lived life in the fast lane, so do you. I can prove it. I was in the fast lane all day today. Sometimes the fast lane grinds to a halt, amen, dealing with the traffic. But I'm going to tell you what, this world and no place like New York City that I've ever been, are we at such a fast pace and so busy. And sometimes we're too busy to pray, and sometimes we're too busy to read our Bible, and sometimes we're too busy to stop and take a moment and remind ourselves that this could be the day that the Lord comes back. Beloved, it could be. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was coming back tomorrow, how would that change your plans? Would you do something differently? Would you change some of your priorities? I would. The thing I can't figure out is why we don't realize that He very well could come back tomorrow. Well, because we don't love His appearing, but we need to. The Bible says there's the right thing to love. We ought to love God. We ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to love His appearing. There's a benefit in it for you. I mean, He's going to come. I mean, here I come, ready or not. It might have been a kid's game when I was young, but it really is quite doctrinal. Because He's coming whether you're ready or not. But if you are, amen, and if your love is appearing, get a crown. Get a crown to return to Him out of gratitude for giving His life on the cross for you. That's what those crowns are for. That's what those rewards are for. Amen. There's some right things to love tonight. All you need is love, He says. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. That'd be a good thing to do. Love your wife. Not just tolerate her. Amen. Not just provide. Love her, because the passage goes on to say, even as Christ also loved the church. And it doesn't even stop there. It says, and gave Himself for it. That's a serious love right there. And He said, that's how, husbands, that's how you're supposed to love your wives. And ladies, the admonishment comes in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 1, but speak thou the things which become. In other words, complement, adorn, sound doctrine. Doesn't mean evolve. That's what they try to do in modern Christianity with the change in the Bible. They try to make doctrine evolve. It doesn't evolve. It just needs to be obeyed. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that's referring to spiritual age right there, not physical. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. There's a novel idea. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You're not even going to love your children right without the love of God. You hear me? Well, oh yeah, next Sunday I'm in Dayton, Ohio. The following Sunday I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Saturday I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Cincinnati, doing a wedding. Then I have to come down there and preach a wedding at a church I've been going to for years. I saw a young girl grow up in the church. My wife's been praying for years for her to get a husband. Need a husband? Give your name. Give a slip of paper. Write it down, Mrs. Spurgeon. She'll pray, boy. I'll tell you what. She can get a hold of the Lord. I hope they all work out. Amen. So far, so good. This girl called us on the way to upstate New York a month and a half ago and said, Brother Spurgeon, and she got proposed to. She wants me to come down and preach the wedding. Not do the wedding. Her pastor will do the wedding. I've done this before down there. The bride and groom, they'll go through the little preliminaries, then they'll go sit in the front row. I'll come up and give the gospel of Jesus Christ for about 20 minutes to all their lost family members. Then I'll get out of the way and they'll finish the ceremony. This young couple's got enough compassion in their heart to say, what a great opportunity for relatives that aren't coming to church for anything but weddings or funerals. What a great opportunity to give them the gospel. You know, we call it holy matrimony. It's Jesus Christ that makes it holy, not the building they do it in. Now, what do they say? I mean, I remember my wife say right there in public when we got married, I love you. I said it back to her. I've said it to her a couple times since. Women need to hear that more often than men, I've noticed. But to really love your husband, it's something you got to learn. To really love your children, something you got to be taught. You know why? Because the tendency is to what? Love yourself first. Amen. I'm having more fun than some of you. That's okay, though. It's my turn. Amen. Listen, it says this in 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So it's right to have the right kind of relationship with each other, with other Christians. All you need is love tonight. He said, on this hang the law, all the law and the prophets. And there's a lot said about love. That's just a few things about the right things to love, but there's some wrong things to love too. It says in John 3 and 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness because their deeds were evil. And boy, I tell you what, I know that firsthand to be true. Boy, I wish it wouldn't have taken a jail cell to put me in a place where I'd shut up and sit still long enough for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to come to me. I wish it wouldn't have taken that. But I'm glad for a praying mother. And again, better late than never. You know, I get to witness to police officers all the time. I've got a respect for police officers that a lot of people don't have because of the side of the law I was on before I became a Christian. And I'm able to tell police officers this. Sincerely, I appreciate what you do. I know what kind of idiots there are out there. I used to be one. And then I say this to them. God used some men in your profession to put me where he could get my attention. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for serving our country. I know it's not easy. I know it's a thankless job. So I'm thanking. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it doesn't say you're not saved if you get carnal, if you get worldly, if you love. It doesn't say you're not saved. It says the love of the Father is not in you. And beloved, if the love of the Father is not in you because your love is out of perspective and you're loving the wrong thing first, you'll never love anything else the way you should. You won't love him. You won't love your spouse. You won't love your children. If the love of the Father isn't in you, you're not going to have the right relationship with anything. Oh, you can say the words. We're talking about the real thing here tonight. Wrong things to love. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a sad testimony. That's last mention of the fellow. The Bible doesn't show he ever got that straightened out. Doesn't say he lost his salvation. I got to emphasize that. People take all these little things and try to make them mean things they don't. You know what I've learned? The Bible means what it says. And the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, and Paul wrote it, having loved this present world. And that was a frontline soldier, just like some of you, just like I believe I am. But something happened. And the Bible's clear about what happened. He got enamored with the affection of things on earth, and they clouded his vision and his focus, and he's recorded in the eternal book as having abandoned the Apostle Paul. Amen. You know, it's interesting, and this would be worth bearing in mind should you ever be tempted. It says, and it departed. It departed unto me. I mean, this second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know what's interesting about that? Whatever the allurement was to Thessalonica, that's not where Demas was from. I've read some historical things. I won't get into some carnal things that Thessalonica was famous for, but I'm going to tell you what it's famous for in my book. It's famous for a good, solid church, believers. You know, Paul chose to forsake Paul, to get out of the ministry, to get out of the will of God. And then the Bible shows us that he goes to a town where there is a very faithful, very strong witness. In other words, when Demas was going about his way, whatever it is that he got involved in, there's a good chance that he found gospel tracts with First Bible Church of Thessalonica stamped on them. What do you think that did to his heart? What do you think it was like when he was on his way perhaps to a bar, perhaps to a house of ill repute, and someone that he knew because he had been in the church with Paul was standing on the corner with, don't you think all these things would work together? In other words, when he left the will of God, he went to a place where the witness of God was strong. And don't you know what that would have done to the Spirit of God within him? Why do I say that? Because that's what will happen to you. You get out of the will of God because you failed to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Amen. And you fail to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And you go out there and you try to blend in, and you're not going to get away with it. Oh, you can do it. You can try. But the witness of the Holy Ghost, the witness of a church steeple, the witness of gospel tract, the witness of places that this church has reached out to touch will always be there. And it'll always grieve you. That's a wrong thing to love. You can't get away from God just by getting away from Paul. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then there's a list of indicators, and it's pretty contemporary. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, I do, that's a waste of time. That's a waste. Amen? You are the wrong thing for you to fall in love with. That Bible says of Diotrephes in 3 John, he loveth to have the preeminence. And that's what a conceited person is, someone that loveth to be the center of attention. Well, I'll tell you what. That's the wrong emphasis right there. There's right things to love. There's wrong things to love. It goes down a little farther, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, we live in a day and age where pleasure seems to be the most important thing. It struck me, I related to you when we started sending troops to the Middle East 10 years ago, and I would get newspapers, like I said, and it just amazed me that as we're deploying battle groups and paratrooper divisions to combat, the headlines of most major newspapers had to do with something with music or movies or sports. And then you open it up and find it, page 2, 3, 4, 5. You'll find some stuff about the war. I thought, boy, if there's anything indicative of our country having fallen in love with pleasure while young men and young women are putting their lives on the line. That's it. That's just lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I've seen people come in and out of churches, sound churches that believe the Bible and preach the Bible and try to win others and come and stay a little while and leave and not ever find another church in the area as doctrinally sound. But the reason for leaving had to do with extracurricular activities. Well, I wanted my children to be involved in this and that and sacrifice sound doctrine. See, that lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God doesn't just apply to that crowd out there. If you're not careful, lovers of God means loving God's word. Means trusting God's direction. It isn't based on the Christmas play and the Easter egg hunt. It's based on this. First, Christianity these days is based on pleasure. There's churches that I know of that once were sound and once were strong and once trained men and once reached out. And there's churches still around because of the effort of some of these churches when they were straight, when they're right with God, but they got a hold of the big church concept that if we get us a little plexiglass pulpit so that everybody can see the drum set and we can have rock music services to bring them in and we can build sports complexes and go millions of dollars in debt, but we'll bring them in, but you can't keep them in. Unless you get rid. Unless you stop preaching on sin. Because when you lower your standards to those kind of things, that's all you'll have. You might have 1,000 or 2 members, but the hand of God will leave. And I can name you places like that, and I fear for the Christians involved in those places. But you can have fun. There's a lot of activities. You, your wife, your children, priority one. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang the law and all the prophets. There's some wrong things to love. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that.
But you can almost tell what God thinks of money by the people he gives it to. Well, look at that Hollywood crowd. Look at some of these sports millions of dollars. $49 billion last weekend for this preview of this movie. People say, money talks. I go, yeah, mine does. It says, goodbye. That's what my money says. We used to say in the old days, money has no home. And I said, that's sure enough true. None lives at my house. Amen. But it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of it is. You need to make sure that you're loving the right things and not loving the wrong things. And there's a temptation and a tendency to get that thing backwards. But the Bible makes it clear. So if you stay in the Bible, you'll keep your priorities right. According to what God said. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's folks that had their love right at one time. That's what it's not the people that don't love God, don't know God, because iniquity shall abound. That's why it's so important to stay in the Bible. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That Bible will keep iniquity from abounding in your life. That Bible will keep the iniquity that's around us from corrupting our walk with God. That Bible will keep our love from growing cold. There's right things to love. There's wrong things to love. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, okay, it wasn't Jesus, but I'm going to say, all you need is love. Amen? So let me give you a couple things. Verse 37 of Matthew 22. We'll read it again. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord. Now, number one tonight, number one. The right things to love. All you need is love. You need to love the Lord. With all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy God, all thy mind. It seems fair. It seems fair in light of the fact that Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says this, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Just makes sense to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He is the creator. He is the preeminent one. He deserves to have the preeminence. It says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let me say it again. He's worthy of your love. He's worthy of all your love. He's worthy of your love with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and like Mark added, your strength. You know why? Because without him, you wouldn't have any of them. You wouldn't have a heart. You wouldn't have a soul. You wouldn't have a mind. And you wouldn't have any strength to love anything without God. I mean, that's deep theology right there, isn't it? I've noticed this. I've learned this. If you could love God with all your heart, it would be a lot harder to fall in love with the things that break his heart. That book says in 3 John and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That verse applies across the board. John's talking to a son in the faith. It applies to God in relationship to you and I as his children. It applies to a parent in regard to his own child. Now that I'm a father, I can concur. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But I found this to be true on the physical realm and perceive it to be true on the spiritual realm as well. Sometimes the Bible says a boatload by what it doesn't say. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Therefore, would it not be true? Is it not true in our lives that there's no greater sorrow than to hear that your children don't walk in truth? I know that's true. Would it be true in our relationship with us and God too? If there's no greater joy, would there also not be no greater sorrow than to hear that you're not walking in truth? I'm going to tell you again. Loving the right things will make it a lot harder. Loving God with all your heart will make it a lot harder to love the things that break His heart, to cause Him that sorrow.
Simple message tonight. All you need is love. The Bible says a lot about love. I've given you a list of right things and wrong things. Number one tonight on the little outline, love the Lord. It says, love the Lord with all thy strength and with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And then it says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord. And then love your neighbor. And that's good, that's good. Love thy neighbor. Yeah, that's good. But it throws in these other two words that make it very complicated. As thyself. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. Okay? You can say, I love my neighbor. But do you love him as yourself? See, that's the problem. Flesh doesn't like that. Satan knows it. He said it in Job chapter 2 and verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Battle cry for the flesh of the flesh is me, myself, and I. Me first. We don't have any problem with loving others, but after us. But the verse says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians 5 and 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Taking care of number one, we call it. Amen? It's easy to say, I love the Lord thy God. I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. But the proof, the test is, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Now the question arises, sure I heard someone utter it, who is my neighbor? I'm glad you asked. You're not the first one. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I don't know if this is the same lawyer or not. I guess it is. Luke chapter 10 and where are we at? Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto them, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But here the guy asked a question. Lord gave him the answer, and he just can't keep his mouth shut. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And here we have the explanation. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So you got this illustration, straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellow said, and who is my neighbor? And he gives him this story about this fellow that, you saw what condition he's in. He's been left half dead. He's been mugged, amen. And three guys went by. One, the first one is a priest, certain priest, it says. He's a religious man. Doesn't say what religion, but he's a religious man. The Bible makes it clear. He passed by on the other side. What'd he do? He ignored him. Pretended he didn't see him at all. Then you got a Levite come by. Now, he is of the right religion. All right? And he didn't ignore the guy. He didn't ignore him. Amen. He walked right over and looked right down on where he was and looked on him, and it didn't help him. Probably just like some religious folks, like some that I know, even that are, amen, of our crowd. Rather than help the guy, figured, well, this must be the judgment of God. What'd you do to end up in that place? And he walked back on over and passed by on the other side too. You got a religious guy, and you've got a Levite, a guy that's of the right religion. And then you got this commoner, this heathen, this half-breed, this Samaritan. He walks over and he sees a guy, and the Bible says he had compassion on him. And we read the passage. And he did, I mean, above and beyond to help the guy. They didn't live next door to each other. He didn't know the guy. Jesus asked this question in verse 36. He's still talking to this same lawyer. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, and he that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. And that's what that's how the Lord defines a neighbor. Someone in need. Someone in need of compassion. Someone in need of help. He said, love your neighbor. Love those in need. We're good at my four and no more. We look after, oh yeah, sometimes we grow in the Lord where we're not just looking after number one, but boy, it's just us, man. It's our little group. It's our little crew. Well, we're not going to reach a world like that. Your neighbor's a little more than that. Jesus said the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment of the law. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. And both these things depend on love. He that showed mercy on him. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody showed mercy on me. Lord showed mercy on me. A preacher that came to the jail showed mercy on me. A little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio showed mercy on me. People have been good to me. You know what my responsibility is? Return the favor to whoever needs it. Them people didn't know me. Them people would not have liked me if they would have known me. They didn't like what they did know about me. Well, why were they so good to you? Because of him. They gave me a chance. He gave me a chance. He gave you a chance. Go and do thou likewise, Jesus said. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, and both have to do with love. In other words, like I said in the beginning, the right kind of love for the right things is all you need. And that tells me that a lot of things would begin to fall into place, and a lot of issues that Christians get bogged down with wouldn't be issues if we could get a hold of this, simplistic as can be. Now we have a conundrum. Don't ask me to spell that. You don't know either, so I probably could. Amen. You've got two commandments. They have to do with love. No evangelist only has 2 points to a message. And few of us only have 3. But tonight, we only have 3. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. What are we going to do? Let's do this. Let's go to John 13. Let's go to John 13 and see if we can't get the third and final point of this message. Keep it in context. And look at verse 34. Notice it's the Lord speaking, and look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. See, he gave us two in Matthew 22, but now he's given us a new one. We needed a new one. I needed a third point for this message. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love. Whoa, now. The first one had to do with loving him, and the second one had to do with loving others. But this one has to do with loving each other. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to believers here. He's talking to those that have assembled to hear him preach. And he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Boy, I tell you what, that verse, I meditate on that verse. I use that verse. I don't know why, really. I guess I key in on that verse so often because of my penchant for brotherhood. The book, brother, biking in brotherhood, all them years. I was in the brotherhood of the paratroopers for a while, and then 15 years in the motorcycle gang brotherhood, and they were facsimiles of the real thing, but the brotherhood tonight is the family of God. 1 Peter 2 and 17 says this, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 John 3 and 10 says this, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now watch what that's determined by. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Somebody said, well, don't you believe you can backslide? I'm having a hard problem with people that claim to be saved that never front slid. You can't backslide if you never made any progress toward God. There's a little more to this thing than just doing some little 1, 2, 3 repeat after me prayer. That book says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I'm going to tell you what becomes new. Your heart becomes new. Your attitude becomes new. Yeah, we're bombarded. We have a great and effectual, a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. We understand all that. We understand it's a battle. We understand it. Sometimes people get set back. Some people just backslide. But man, some people never made a move toward God after saying that little prayer. Let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is heart-changing to the degree that you just don't say some little prayer and get up and add salvation to your little list of accomplishments. And I've seen it done. And then now let's go, okay, we took care of that. The preacher said we need to take care of that. And then we never see him again. And we got to get a warrant from the FBI to track him down. And then, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Something changes. I'm glad, aren't you? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled. It said, children of the devil also, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he wasn't real. Now he's just a cartoon character who sits on your shoulder, little horn, little joke. Or he's just subject to some Hollywood movie, some great special effects. That stuff. I didn't like horror films when I was lost. I've seen enough horror in real life. I don't go nowhere near that stuff now because I know it's real. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'll start all over. No, I won't. But here's why the devil has backed off and works behind the scenes now. Because if he can convince the world, and he's done a great job, he's the God of it, that he's not real, then God doesn't have to be real. And we live in a day and age where everything is, man is the final authority to everything. They've talked themselves out of their creation. They've talked themselves out of eternity. This is it. And that's the devil's plan. Amen? He knows it's not true. But Jesus Christ gives us the key to letting the world know, in spite of the devil's efforts, he gives us the key here to letting the world know that he is real. Look at the next verse, verse 35. We're talking about a new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you have loved one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
if you have love one to another. If we'll treat each other with the kind of love that God intended, my goodness, in a dog-eat-dog rat race, me first world, if we could really learn to treat each other, fellow Christians, the way He has laid out for us to, it will declare to a lost and dying world that there's something going on with them people. And that's our opportunity to let them know what it is and who He is. I've noticed this traveling around. There's too many independent contractors in Christianity these days. We're independent King James Bible believers. Sometimes we're more independent than we are Bible believers. Amen. There's a lot of cliques and a lot of clubs. And there's a motorcycle gang mentality amongst churches these days. Well, if they're not wearing our colors, they're inferior. Or even worse, the enemy. And you know this. I hope you know this. I'm not a compromiser. I'm not ecumenical. That's not what I'm not talking about some big group hug. I hate that stuff. But I'm talking about, man, we can make more out of some little nothing and rob ourselves not only the sweet fellowship of God's people, but we can rob ourselves of the ability to let a lost and dying world know that there's something about us that's bigger than we are. Elitism is a sin. Religion's full of it, and I'll have none of it. That just shows the world we're just like them. We're supposed to show the world that we're trying to be more like Him. And John 15:3 says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, Jesus Christ sure enough laid down His life for His friends. He didn't write that verse for us to think about Him. He wrote that verse for us to imitate Him and love one another the way He did. He laid down His life. That book says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Boy, I tell you what, if we, as real Bible believers, could get a hold of that, people would be tracking us down to ask us what's different. That book says, be ready always to give an answer to them. Sanctify yourselves and be ready always to give an answer to them that asketh you of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Yeah, we should go out and witness. Yeah, we should. But it indicates that somebody ought to see something different in you. They might come and ask you, when's the last time anybody ever did that? They tracked you down at work, at play, at the family reunion. Say, you know what? I've just been watching you for years and years sometimes. But it's obvious you got something. Could you tell me what it is? And that's the open door that living for Jesus Christ will provide. And it has to do with love. All you need is love. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Love each other. 3 points. No poem. Last verse. Go to Romans 8.
Verse 38. Romans 8:38. Heard somebody say this about finishing a message. He said, I'm getting ready to land this plane. That's what he was talking about, closing. And I thought to myself, I was a paratrooper. I don't know anything about landing planes. I just jumped out at a couple thousand feet. But I'm going to try to land this plane. Might be a rough landing, so my assistant pilot will be making his way up here shortly, Brother Beach. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, the Bible says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Are you in Christ Jesus our Lord tonight? Man, that verse right there, that makes the devil a liar and about 99% of all religionists too. Because it says nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's a blessing, isn't it? That ought to make you love Him even more. That make you ought to make you want to get right with Him when you get crossways with Him. Well, say, what do you mean? You ought to know. You ought to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to know when you've grieved Him. You know when you've done something that isn't right. You don't think it's just when no one's looking, do you? I mean, you know God's always looking, don't you? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He will love you. But you might need to ponder this question before you leave the building tonight. And I'm getting ready to get out of the way. Has anything in your life been able to separate the love of God from you? I know that's deep, isn't it? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No problem on His part. But when iniquity gets in our lives, it can separate us. In other words, He's not here anymore. He's down a couple notches. Anything get in there? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. That's where He's supposed to be, top of the list. Love thy neighbor. We've got a responsibility to others. Say, well, how do you know? Because somebody showed mercy on you. You have a responsibility. It's a commandment. Then He gave us a new commandment. It has to do with each other. Simple. He didn't say memorize 10. He said, get these. And still, the world, the flesh, and the devil work for preeminence. So when I ask you, maybe you should ponder this question. Has anything been able to separate the love of God from you? Is there anything that's caused Him to drop in your list of priorities? That's what you need to address. That's what you need to do something about. That's what the Lord wants to bring to your attention tonight. Yeah, I'm preaching on love, but it, like I say, it's not group hug stuff here. We're not holding hands. Brother Pat does not know kumbaya. And don't slip him the words. Amen? We're talking about the right kind of love. For God that loved us first. Who deserves not only the preeminence, but He deserves our obedience. And the kicker is, He'll bless you for it. Let's stand. Brother Mike, you come. Let's all stand, bow our heads. Pastor's going to come. Simple message. It's the only kind I got. Lord, speak to your heart. You listen to your preacher now. And you respond to your preacher.
Let's just bow our heads. We had an opportunity a week or two ago to fellowship a little bit with a missionary from Poland who preached here for us, Brent Riggs. And Brent was telling us one day at dinner that he had witnessed to his dad for many, many years. His dad was nearly an atheist, had no interest in anything. His dad was a very rough, rough, crude man. Had no interest in anything But one day, unbeknownst to Brother Brent, his dad had just picked up a Bible and began to read it. And one day he called Brent. Brent didn't even realize his dad had been reading the Bible, but his dad had been reading it for several months. And he told, called his son, and he said, "You know, son, I finally started to read the Bible." And he said, "You know, I came to a conclusion. The main thing in this book is love." That was from a man that had never read a Bible before. Just as he read through that thing, and I don't know what parts the Lord directed his attention to, but he said the main thing in this book is love, coming from a rough, rough, crude man. And when you have a heart to see the truth, you'll see that the main thing in that book is love. It's the love of God for you. And then when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, it affects the things that you love. And you start to love things that you had no interest in before. And if you're saved in here, you know what I'm talking about. You started to love the Word of God. And maybe you didn't even have any respect for it before you got saved. And you started to love the brethren and love the old hymns and love church and love an opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord. And those were things that didn't mean anything to you before. Where does that come from? Where does an affection for those things come from? It comes because the Spirit of God, the God who is love, the Spirit of that God lives inside you now, and you start to love like He loves. And like the preacher said tonight, if you'll get that first one right, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, almost everything else in life will fall into place. And I was thinking what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. Remember, after Peter had failed, and then after the resurrection, Jesus talked to him by the side of that lake. And he did not say to Peter, "Peter, do you intend to serve me faithfully for the rest of your life? Peter, do you intend to be a good witness like I told you to be? Peter, do you promise to do this, and do you intend to do that?" He asked him one question. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" Man, after 3.5 years of training that apostle, one of the final questions asked of him before the Lord departed was, "Peter, do you love me?" And it all comes down to that. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him like you ought to love him? A message like this tonight makes me want to love him more. Makes me want to love him better. Makes me want to love him with all my heart. That's what it said. All my heart. All my soul. All my mind. That's the way God deserves to be loved, after all the love he had for you. And if the message spoke to your heart tonight, and you realize in your life, maybe right now you haven't loved the Lord like you should. Maybe the love of other things has crept in there. The love of the world, the love of money, the love of yourself, the love of pleasure. Maybe those things, honestly, be honest with God right now, maybe those things really mean more to you than the Lord. And if that's the case, you know right now you stand in a church building, but you're not right with God. And if you are honest with God tonight, and you'd have to say, I love those things more than I love the Lord, then this is the perfect time to just make it right with Him before you go home tonight. It's so simple to make it right. All you have to do is acknowledge where you've been wrong. Just acknowledge where you've been wrong. Tell Him about it. Ask Him to forgive you and help you with it. And you can be right tonight. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never responded to the love of God for your soul. Maybe you know He loves you. You could finish John 3:16 for me. Probably every lost person in the world could finish that verse, or at least every lost person in America could finish that verse. Maybe know it by heart. But have you ever responded to that verse? God loved you enough to give His only begotten Son to die for you, to go to hell for you, to bleed for you, to suffer for you, because He loved you. And as the preacher sang tonight, because He lives, you can live too. But you have to respond to that love. You have to acknowledge that love. You have to receive that love. You have to say yes to that love. And if you haven't done that, would you do that tonight? Would you, it's simple tonight, if you've never responded to that love, it's a simple thing. Just open your heart, ask the Lord to save you, and thank Him for what He's done for you. Whatever you need tonight, God will meet your need here. We're going to sing one song, and as we sing, if there's anything you need to talk to God about, then I hope you will do it now. You may come if you want to. You can come here. You can pray. You can get things right with God. If you need to be saved, we'll help you right now here tonight. If you have a need like that in your heart, please do something about it right now as we sing. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. Thank you, Father, for the great love of our Savior for every one of our souls. Thank you, Lord, that you did love us first before we even knew we were loved like that. I remember, Lord, in my own life, almost 37 years ago, when I realized how much I had been loved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it so simple for us to know you and love you in return. And Father, I pray that you'd have your way in this room tonight, in our hearts tonight. Help your people tonight, Lord. If there's something lacking in our love affair for thee, if there's something, Lord, that we have set our affection on, something that we shouldn't be loving in our own lives, then help us tonight, Lord, that we might see it and repent of it, turn away from it, and forsake it, Lord. Please help us tonight. Help your people tonight. And if there's someone in this room tonight, Lord, that needs to be saved, please, I pray that you may draw them to Jesus Christ right now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you'll accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Pat?
352.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the mirror waters roll.
Question tonight, if you would, just bow your heads again. Are you here tonight and you can say honestly before God that if you died tonight, you know absolutely for sure that you would go to heaven? Is that, do you have an assurance of that in your heart? Can you just lift your hand if you know that for certain tonight? Okay, amen. All right, put your hand down. And I wasn't looking to see who didn't raise their hand, but maybe you were here and you could not honestly acknowledge that you don't know for sure. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. Maybe everyone in the room raised their hand. But if you're here tonight and you're not certain that heaven is your home, could we pray for you tonight? We won't call your name out or anything like that. We're not going to embarrass you. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone like that here tonight? You just say, I realize if I died tonight, I may not go to heaven. I'm not sure that I will. But I would appreciate your prayers. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up. Be honest with God tonight. Just slip your hand up and then put it right back down. Say, here's my hand. Please pray for me.